Welcome to the LuxCore podcast, the ultimate hangout spot for all things Pilates. Whether you're a newbie, a seasoned pro, or even a Pilates instructor yourself, get ready to dive into the world of Pilates every week. We'll be interviewing industry professionals, from instructors and studio owners to educators and even equipment designers, sharing their wisdom, sparking new conversations about hot topics, and hearing from some of your favorites in the field. So if you're all about movement, wellness, and hearing expert tips on all things Pilates, then grab a comfy spot and let's get started. So welcome to LuxCore's first episode for our podcast. First of all, just thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited.
It's my absolute pleasure. I'm very excited too.
Just a rapid fire round to start with. Just whatever comes into your head first. Okay. So first question, we're going to go tea or coffee?
Tea.
Amazing. Reformer or mat?
Reformer.
And reformer or tower while we're there?
Reformer.
Amazing. Classical or contemporary?
Contemporary classical.
I love that. Somewhere in the middle, a mixture. Privates or classes?
Classes all the way.
Bare feet. This is already.
Always bare feet.
Bare feet or grip socks?
Always bare feet.
Bare feet. Your favorite athleisure brand right now?
Lululemon.
And your favorite sort of wellness tips that you would always tell everyone?
Sleep lots.
Sleep.
At least 8 hours.
Completely agree. Yeah. Can't function without it.
No,
definitely not. Okay, so obviously both you Pilates and your career has kind of harnessed around pelvic floor and the power of the pelvic floor. So before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit more about your career, where you found Pilates, how you started in your training, and sort of, yeah, how it evolved?
Well, I actually started Pilates just when I became pregnant with my fourth child. So we lived in Edinburgh, and I'd vaguely heard about Pilates. This is 20 years ago now, 20 years ago. And I'd vaguely heard about Pilates, and then one of my friends who lived in Edinburgh said, "Oh my God, I've taken up Pilates, you've got to try it, it's fantastic." And so I actually got a teacher who was a yoga Pilates teacher, okay, trained in Australia. So I actually... whilst I was doing yoga Pilates with her, I didn't know what was yoga, what was Pilates. I just knew I absolutely loved it. And then, not long after I had my last boy, Robbie, we moved to America. And I thought I was going to carry on in my career, which had been in advertising, and get a job. Little did I know, it was that I needed to earn a work authorization card. I didn't even know what that was. So I couldn't just show up in the States, yeah, and work. So we moved my husband's job. So I'd fallen in love with yoga Pilates by this point. Didn't know what was yoga, what was yoga, what was Pilates, what I loved about it. So I signed up for a Pilates studio near where we lived in America. I also signed up for some yoga classes as well. So I thought, well, I'll do a bit of both and see what I like more. And realized it was Pilates that I was really in love with. However, having said that, there was a lot of yoga that I thought was actually lacking from Pilates, okay, and things that I kind of experienced in my yoga Pilates classes back in Edinburgh. And so I've always incorporated an element of yoga into my Pilates, for example, extreme rotation,
yes,
things like that.
Yeah.
So it was Pilates I fell in love with. That was my first experience of reformer Pilates when we moved to Greenwich in Connecticut. And before long, I realized, well, I haven't got a job for the first time in my life, which isn't ideal. Fallen in love with Pilates, why don't I train to be a Pilates teacher?
Amazing.
So I trained, I did mat certification in New York City, and then I was studio trained in a studio called the Reform School in Greenwich.
Amazing. Is that still there?
Still there.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
My first amazing boss, Miriam, still there. She was fantastic. So she had a big studio in Greenwich with Cadillac, Reformer. We did some mat there and
amazing
chair, everything. Ladder barrel. So I did my training, studio training with her, and then started teaching in Greenwich.
Oh my gosh, that's loved amazing. It, yeah. And so did you go straight into the full-time training, or were you still...
Yeah, I literally trained what was 9 to 5
yeah.
every day, 5 days a week,
amazing.
Which was, in those days, the way you did your Pilates teacher training, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so were you in the States for quite a while after that?
So we're in the States for 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so I kind of trained for a year, and actually... It took me about a year to get my work authorization card through. So I was training, ready to teach, but mm-hmm. I couldn't officially teach. So I trained for a little bit longer before I was allowed to teach officially.
So you're doing full-time teaching and yeah. you had 4 boys at home.
I did have 4 boys.
How did you juggle that?
I had a super nanny.
So
I can't amazing. Claim that I didn't. I had an amazing, amazing woman called Amanda who oh. was from Edinburgh where we had lived, and she decided she'd come to America with
oh,
us. So yeah,
amazing.
So she made my life bliss, actually. Yeah. Big shout out to Amanda, yeah, super nanny.
All the super nannies out there.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, so if, let's say for anyone listening who hasn't tried Pilates, has heard everyone talking about it, but has no idea what to expect walking into their first class, can you give us a quick, brief summary on what Pilates is, and then perhaps the difference between reformer or equipment and mat, so the two differences between those two.
I mean, I think I always say Pilates is quite difficult to explain, because when you try and explain it, it's lengthening, stretching, yeah. toning, you know, feel good at it. Mm-hmm. It's a total body workout, all this kind of stuff. The best way to describe Pilates is that Pilates is magic. That's what I would say.
I love that.
It's absolute magic, and you can't really describe it until you've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've experienced it, most clients will kind of agree, oh yeah, Pilates is magic. It's a feel good workout.
Mm-hmm.
It tones you, it works all your muscles, it stretches you, it just makes your body feel good, and it makes your mind feel good. It prevents injury, it enables you to carry on working out for longer than you would otherwise if you were doing other forms of exercise, for example, running, where you might put a lot of
mm-hmm.
strain on your joints. So Pilates is magic, and I've been teaching for nearly 20 years now, and it never ceases to amaze me how magic it is, how mm-hmm. it works. I used to always say, you know, what's the question? Pilates is the answer. Or the other way around, you know, Pilates is the answer. Now, what's
oh
your question?
God,
you
so
know, people
true.
Walk in, you know, I've got a problem here. I don't
yeah.
feel good. I want Pilates. Just do Pilates.
Absolutely. We had a barbecue at the weekend, and all of my family were talking about what niggles or pains or experiences they're having. I'm like, Pilates.
Pilates is the answer.
I'm biased, but exactly. Pilates is always the answer.
It is. Sure. In the 20 years that I've been teaching, very, very rarely do you ever come across someone that actually says, I don't enjoy Pilates. The odd, you know, maybe you know, footballer who's really tight, and
yes.
and the first time they do it, they're like, oh my God, I didn't enjoy that. I thought it was going to be easy. That's what most people
yeah.
say, especially athletes that start doing it. Oh my God, I thought it was going to be easy. My girlfriend does it. My wife does it. My mum
yeah.
does it. My grandma does it. And then they try and do it. They might find it tougher than they thought, but once you get into Pilates, everybody loves it.
Would you say that that is the biggest misconception when it comes to Pilates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people who haven't tried Pilates think, oh, it's going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It's just a bit of stretching.
Oh, they look cute on the little slidey
yeah.
reformers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a mat workout.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with the whole world of Instagram and how, you know, all the Pilates teachers are putting all these pretty videos up looking kind
mm-hmm.
of looking fresh and it makes it look really easy, and then when you try them it's like, oh, okay,
yeah, that's in the middle of the class it does not look
yeah.
like that. No one's that graceful. I feel
yeah.
like there's a current place in your practice, or there's a moment in your practice where you get that Pilates composure
yeah.
and you're just like, don't show weakness because they'll make it harder.
Exactly. I mean, that's part of the reason you asked me earlier, do I prefer privates or classes?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big part of why I prefer classes. The energy of a class
yeah.
just keeps everyone motivated and keeps them going and pushing themselves
yeah.
a little bit harder than they would otherwise.
Absolutely. And would you say there's an ideal the amount of times per week we should be aiming for?
You know, we get asked this a lot. And, you know, if you do Pilates at all, it's better than not doing Pilates. If you
mm-hmm.
do it once a week, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What I always say to people is, if you can do Pilates twice a week, you get double the benefit of doing it once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like better value.
Yes.
And then obviously you get the clients that are in 3 or 4 times a week. And
mm-hmm.
us as teachers, we're doing it almost daily. So that's
yeah.
another great thing about Pilates. You can't do too much of it,
mm-hmm.
but any amount you'll feel the benefit of.
Yeah, absolutely. So you had come back from America, and was that when you launched your first studio call?
Nope. So I came back from America, and we moved to Cobham in Surrey. And in fact, before I even moved from America, and when we were kind of figuring out where we were going to live, the first thing I was searching was Pilates studio. And Cobham, where I live now, had an amazing Pilates studio already called Cobham Pilates, run by Donna. And I signed up to do Pilates classes with Donna before I'd even moved to the country, and then met Donna and obviously just fell in love with her studio, and she offered me a job, which I absolutely loved. So I worked there for, I think, about 6 years. Wow. Loved every minute. It was fantastic. And it's still, we're still neighbours, so we can wave across the road, and it's a fantastic studio. And then after about 6 years, I just had a desire to do something a little bit different, so a slightly different business model, and with more emphasis on reformer Pilates, which was obviously growing then and has continued to grow.
Yes, so, huge.
Yeah. So that was over 8 years ago, opened first studio call.
Yeah, amazing. And that had a couple of reformers.
Yeah, so that we had two reformer studios, one with six reformers, one with eight reformers in, and then we had a private studio with a Cadillac, a barrel, a chair, and a reformer.
As a former dancer and Pilates instructor, over the years I've spent most of my time in studios barefoot. However, with the growing popularity of reformer Pilates, many studios now require clients to wear socks for both hygiene reasons and to enhance their Pilates practice. I've tried various brands of grip socks in the past, but none seem to strike the right balance between technical performance and style. Last Christmas, my sister gifted me a pair of Seven Soles grip socks. At first glance, I was so impressed by their style and design, but was a little bit unsure if they would deliver on technical performance. The socks were incredibly comfortable, offered great support, and a really snug fit. They offer support with form and stability throughout your Pilates session. The subtle design features and neutral tones were far more my style. Plus, not only do these socks look and feel amazing, they're also designed right here in the UK. I'm all about supporting small businesses, so we're super excited that the team at Seven Soles is offering an exclusive 15% discount for you guys when spending over £20. Visit their website to place your first order, and enter the code LUXCORE15 to get your order on its way. Now let's get back to the episode.
I mean, what would you say if anyone who's listening is potentially looking to open their own studio, or even is maybe in their first sort of year or so of teaching, what would be the best advice you would?
Don't do it too soon. Mm-hmm. Ideally work in at least two Pilates studios first, so that you really understand how Pilates studios run. Definitely be a Pilates teacher. I've said that. I've had people over the years asking me, you know, I was thinking of opening a Pilates studio. It's like, if you're not a Pilates teacher, don't even think of opening a Pilates studio, would be my honest advice. Because I think you really need to know what it's like, you know, when you're managing a whole bunch of Pilates teachers, it's important that you know how grueling it is.
Yeah.
And when you see them on the schedule and they want to do another hour, you're like, oh my God, that's too much. You know. So just having a little bit more sympathy and empathy with, you know, the intensity of what being
how your employees actually feel that they're working each day.
Yeah.
And then how did you create such a big community and a really good team? Do you feel like there's something that you always looked for? Did you feel like there was an energy you always wanted to have within the studio?
It's interesting, actually. I don't think I consciously thought about that, but everyone who's ever worked at U Pilates or Core has had the same thing in common, which is positive energy and a real passion for Pilates.
I love that.
And that's, you know, that comes through. You get that almost instantaneous when people walk through the door. You know if they're genuinely passionate about Pilates and have a positive energy, because the most important thing is that if you're creating a studio or creating a brand, is that you're consistent with everything, how you teach, how people feel when they walk through the doors. And I think that this positive energy that we give off at U Pilates is always recognized by clients, and it's and then replicated because our clients have the same positive energy.
Yeah,
you know, when they walk through the door, they might not feel it, but when they leave, they certainly feel positive and energized.
Absolutely. I think that's a really common trait here, is that they'll walk in, and even if they've had a bit of a rough day, they're always looking forward to it, slightly apprehensive about it, and then they walk out feeling like they've had a total turnaround. And
exactly.
Amazing. Okay, so once you were, I mean, CORE was open for how many years?
5 years.
5 years. Yeah. And was it the pandemic that kind of came in that?
Well, actually, we had a 5 year lease. It was a 10 year lease with the opportunity to stop after 5 years. And that 5 years happened to be 2020. And I'd had my eye on this studio for quite a few years. It had been an empty shell. It was part of a new build retail space. And unfortunately, it didn't have planning for a gym or a Pilates studio. But with COVID, the government changed planning rules on the high street.
Wow.
So the space that I'd always had my eye on, which had been a bit unattainable, suddenly became available. Because we didn't need planning permission to open. So it was thanks to COVID, yeah.
The silver lining's out of that situation.
The timing couldn't have been better. My five-year lease had literally come to an end, or was about to come to an end, and then suddenly this space became available. So it was meant to be.
Yeah, timing all aligned.
Yeah.
The stars aligned.
Exactly.
And then so through COVID, you moved online for a little while?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much we did it overnight. We got very little, like everybody, we got very little notice that we were going into lockdown, and suddenly, you know, we couldn't teach any of our classes anymore. And so our amazing studio manager, Danielle, just said, "Bye, we're going to just carry on the classes as planned, and all the classes are just going to have to be on Zoom." So we managed to figure that out in probably the most intense 24 hours. We're like,
what's a quick turnaround?
What's this Zoom thing? You know, how does it work? So the first few classes were, some of us a little bit chaotic, where you just kind of look up and you're like, oh, they've gone. What's happened?
Halfway through a downward dog and then we're disconnected.
But the rest of the world, we all got the hang of Zoom pretty quickly.
Yes.
So, no, I mean, I remember those times really. It's fun, you know, weren't allowed to see anyone in real life, and you switch on your computer and say hey to everyone.
I feel like everyone fell back in love with Matt for a moment.
No, that's exactly.
So good.
Yeah. Because you asked me earlier, did I prefer, you know, would I choose Matt over Reformer? Reformer all the way if you're given a choice, just because it's such an incredible piece of equipment that can take your, you know, strength and flexibility to another level. However, when COVID hit, I realized how incredible Matt Pilates was. I remembered how incredible Matt Pilates was, and the fact that you can do it anywhere. And anybody can do it. You can literally do it anywhere. You don't even need a mat. You just need yourself.
Yeah.
Is, you know, that's second to none. Obviously, to do reformer Pilates, you've got to have a reformer. So
yes.
I think we all fell in love again.
Yeah,
with
definitely.
Matt Pilates.
I think we all kind of went back to, well, as instructors, you go back to that basic principle of where your training started, where the movement intention was behind it, and then I think we're all very grateful to then get back in the studios and getting back on the reformers and everything like that. And then, so U Pilates opened, and you've now been open for almost 3 years, 2.5 years?
20, so we opened in 21? I think we've been open for 4 and a bit years, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, so we opened April-ish, wasn't it, once we were allowed 21. So yes, we'd opened.
Amazing.
Three, that's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
So as the time went on across the last couple of years, you've changed from Reformer and Matt to Matt and Tower. And Tower's probably less known.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little bit of an explanation as to what Tower and the difference maybe between Reformer and Tower?
So Tower, unlike the Reformer, kind of stays still, piece of equipment. It's almost like having a big mat with a frame at the side with springs and things attached to it. So when you're on a Reformer, you're constantly moving and you're using the straps and springs and everything to move. On a Tower, the Tower stays still, but you've got spring resistance to work with. And again, when you explain things to Pilates stuff, it doesn't make any sense. Come and try it.
Get yourself to a studio.
It's great. I mean, it's good fun. I think most people find Tower just really good fun. It's kind of half a Cadillac, so those big climbing frame machines. It's half a Cadillac, so you can do
less daunting as well.
Yeah, less walking. Yeah, a lot of people find it a lot less daunting. It's kind of, at least it stays still when you're on it. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Amazing. And so you as, well, you Pilates itself, the you represents the pelvic floor?
It
am
is.
I right in thinking?
It is. So our you, with a little line underneath, is inspired by a video that we found on Instagram of a pregnant woman sitting on a yoga block, and she had a pregnant bump, and as she squeezed and lifted her pelvic floor, you could see the bump lift in this beautiful U shape when she was sitting on the yoga block. So that's how you Pilates was
born.
I was literally born by a pregnant woman, exactly, about to have
Incredible.
A baby. So yeah, there's the pelvic floor. When you squeeze and lift your pelvic floor, if you've got a bump, you've got a baby in your tummy, it lifts up with this U lifting, and she was sitting on the yoga block. So yeah, it's inspired by
Incredible.
The pelvic floor, which is actually what kind of what actually sold it, even though most of the clients probably don't know that story. Mm-hmm. Just thought, oh, that's so lovely that we've got a real story behind
Absolutely.
The U.
And you are known as a bit of a pelvic floor enthusiast,
fanatic, probably. Yeah. I think probably crazy pelvic floor.
It's
woman.
Mentioned a few times in your classes. What would you say? A, and maybe someone who is listening and has no idea if and where their pelvic floor is.
Well, if you're a woman, and I always say this, imagine you're wearing a Tampax. So your pelvic floor runs round, where if you're wearing a Tampax up your vagina, the pelvic floor muscles circle that. So imagine you're wearing a Tampax or something else up there, if you prefer. squeeze those muscles tight. And then as you squeeze them and breathe out, lift those muscles upwards. So it's a conscious with your brain, squeeze and then lift. And as you squeeze and lift, also draw your deep low tummy muscles in. So what happens when you squeeze and lift your pelvic floor? Your low tummy muscles, this band of muscle that runs between your hip bones, automatically does engage and draw in. But if you add in a conscious scoop of these muscles, it actually helps you lift the pelvic floor harder, and it helps you engage and strengthen these low muscles, tummy muscles more as well. And if you're a guy, imagine... Some teachers say, imagine you're peeing up a wall. But what I usually say is, try and think about lifting your balls up. So it's the same muscle.
Yes.
The muscle, the pelvic floor muscle runs. It's attached to your pubic bone at the front, your tailbone at the back, one sits bone, one side, one side. So it's like a triangle of muscle. And men have got they've got two holes that run through it, where you poo and where you pee. And women have got three holes that run through their pelvic floor, where the center one is your vagina. So whatever it takes for you to squeeze those holes that run through the pelvic floor and then lift them up, that's what you should be thinking about doing. And look, I've had loads of Pilates teachers over the years take the mickey out of me, and I wouldn't be able to say squeeze and lift where your Tampax is. I don't care. I don't care. I taught in India with a whole load of men and women in India at the Pilates festival in India, and I didn't care about talking about a Tampax if it works for people. And they were all sitting there nodding, going, oh, I get it, you know. So because it works, and because it's such an important muscle that unfortunately doesn't engage with exercise, not properly, and not to the extent that we need it to engage.
It's like voluntary, involuntary.
Involuntary,
it works in both ways.
You need to really, really focus on with your brain squeezing it and lifting it, and if that's the vision, sort of the vision or the imagery that works most effectively, which is what I've found over 20 years. No one's given me an alternative that works better for people, so that's why. Unashamedly,
it's very
squeeze
true.
And lift your Tampax. But interestingly, I often get told, I've been to another Pilates studio and they don't talk about pelvic floor as much as you do, or they don't talk about pelvic floor at all. And I think it's a shame, personally, because I think the pelvic floor is so fundamental to life, having a strong pelvic floor, but also to get the most out of Pilates. But the one thing I would say is my obsession with the pelvic floor started way, way before I'd even heard of Pilates. So it's not through Pilates or any form of Pilates teacher training.
So how did it start?
It started when I was pregnant with my first son. So he's going to be 26 soon. So it's nearly 27 years ago. And I went to one of my friend's weddings. She was a gynecologist. She'd been to Oxford University. She did medicine there, and she'd done her training in to be a gynecologist, and arrived at her wedding, and she said, handed me champagne. I said, oh, I'm pregnant. And she's like, oh my God, oh my God. And instead of saying congratulations, what she said to me was, okay, squeeze and lift your pelvic floor daily from now on. It's the most important bit of advice I could give to any pregnant woman. It's the most important thing that you can do. Mm-hmm. And she actually said at the time, there are two schools of thought still about the pelvic floor and how much you should strengthen it during pregnancy. The one that says you shouldn't is bollocks. The one that says you should is the most important thing that I can pass on to you. So mm-hmm. from that day, 27 years ago, and you know, really early on,
immediately
into my first pregnancy, I became a little bit obsessed with this squeeze and lift of the pelvic floor, and then just learned more and more about it. But my pregnancies, I've been pregnant four times, had four gorgeous boys, mm-hmm. And my pregnancies, births, and recoveries after births were amazing, and I really do put that down to being very, very focused with mm-hmm. pelvic floor exercises during, after, and then beyond, obviously.
Absolutely.
So that's how the obsession comes.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, and I guess it's something that gets so left behind in most fitness practices. There isn't a highlight, and even like you say, within the Pilates world, it's not talked about enough, and maybe not highlighted enough. A lot of squeezing tummy and belly button to spine, but not necessarily that initial lift first and foremost.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you, Tasha. I think I was joking aside earlier, but I do think one of the main reasons it's not talked about a lot is because teachers feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. talking about mm-hmm. it because of, you know, the sexual connotations with where the pelvic floor is, etc. But and that's a real shame because I actually think it's shocking how many women especially are physically and emotionally traumatized because of having a weak, damaged pelvic floor. So in all seriousness, I just wish more people would talk about it all the time, because unless you consciously squeeze and lift your pelvic floor, mm-hmm. your pelvic floor will weaken over time. And then there are so many negative, we don't need to get into all that today, people can Google it. So many negative side effects of having a weak pelvic floor.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And would you say, how would you kind of harness the pelvic floor and the power of the pelvic floor into Pilates practice? Is it something that we need to be doing through the entire class? Is it something that we need to be leading with? And if so, how does it change your practice?
Well, it's interesting because the way I've just talked about pelvic floor now, it sounds like it's all about, you know, the pelvic floor being weak and, you know, and the trauma that people experience through having a weak pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. But actually, when it comes to teaching Pilates, a really good way to motivate people to use their pelvic floor is that it makes your tummy flatter. Mm-hmm. And not only does it make your tummy flatter, it makes you stronger. Mm. And not only does it make you stronger, it makes you more flexible, because when you're engaging your pelvic floor, you can move to a greater range of movement in all directions. So, it you know, I said earlier, the way to describe Pilates is it's magic. It's actually the pelvic floor that is the most magic component of Pilates. It makes you stronger. It makes your tummy flatter. It makes you more flexible. And it makes you happier.
So the key to happiness, if anyone's wondering, is definitely the pelvic floor.
And I know that didn't answer your question. You're saying, how would you incorporate it?
No,
so
wait.
Personally, I mean, if anyone's ever been to one of my classes or online classes, they'll know that I literally mention the pelvic floor about 1,075 times in 1 hour. So I incorporate it throughout the whole pelvic floor. It's almost like, you know, if you're driving a car, you won't drive unless you're in gear. If you're stick shift, you know, it's like, don't move until your pelvic floor is engaged. Yeah. It protects your low back. It keeps your tummy from popping. Mm-hmm. It enables you to lengthen the spine more effectively and then rotate more safely and bend more safely. So I know I'm, again, with the obsession of pelvic floor, I would talk about pelvic floor throughout an entire class. Maybe even we're doing splits at the end. Let it just completely relax.
But like you say, I think because it's one of those things that can quite easily when you're focusing on so many other things, the breathing, the stretching, where your hips are meant to be, your pelvic stability and things like that, that it's one of those muscles that will just naturally soften over the course of an exercise or a sequence. Yeah. So re-engaging it with each connection, I think that does make such a difference to the routine. And the same in terms of when I first started training the pelvic floor a little bit more intensely when I came here, it definitely made me notice the doming effect massively reduced because I would have struggled to do some serious core work without doming the abdominals. And that was something that I think made such a difference.
You can see when someone's squeezing and lifting their pelvic floor.
You think you can't, but you can.
You can see because their tummy doesn't pop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, one of my kind of lines I often use when I'm teaching is don't let your tummy pop. Popping of tummy is illegal in Pilates. So, you know, and the way to prevent your tummy from popping when it's straining is to squeeze and lift your pelvic floor.
Amazing. So is there anything in terms of advice that you might give to someone who's considering either just attending their first class and they're feeling a little bit nervous, or someone who's potentially looking to train as an instructor or has just trained as an instructor and has no idea how to navigate this massive world that's been created through social media and things to even get their foot in the door for a studio and things? Is there any tips?
Yeah, I mean, I would be a client first. Yeah. So you need to be a client, so do Pilates, ideally in a studio, to get the feel of the energy, and also so that you can try out loads of different teachers, to firstly know that you absolutely love Pilates. So if you don't absolutely love Pilates and feel like you're obsessed with Pilates, I wouldn't even think about being a Pilates teacher. Mm-hmm. So that's the most important thing. And then once you've found a teacher or a Pilates studio or a bunch of teachers that you like, and you feel like you want to, you know, be a teacher, talk to them, get their advice, get their honest opinion, whether they think that, you know, you've got what it takes. Most people have. If they're, you know, the most important thing is that you're passionate and obsessed with Pilates, because there are lots of different sorts of Pilates teachers that focus on, you know, rehab more than a big, you know, intense workout. Some Pilates teachers only do one-to-ones, which is less intimidating for people. So if you love Pilates, I'd say absolutely go for it. But find some teachers that you're really inspired by, and talk to them.
I love that. And if you could recommend any studio or instructor across the world that's obviously not you, Pilates, who would you recommend?
I always recommend Lisa Bradshaw. So she, I first met Lisa when I first moved back to the UK after being in teaching in America. And she, was a master trainer for body control Pilates.
Is that who your training was with originally? Or was
no, because she's just UK based. Yes, right, so I met her after I trained to be a Pilates teacher. But she worked and still does work at Cobham Pilates, which was where I first worked when I came here, and she did a lot of teacher training to the team there. Her classical mat and classical reformer knowledge, training, the way she teaches is second to none. She's an absolute genius. So she does teacher training and she teaches normal people who don't want to be teachers, and she's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Lisa B. Yeah, if you look at her on Instagram, it'd be Lisa B or Lisa B Lisa Pilates, B. I think. And she does a lot of reformer and mat, and I think chair and everything else, training, Cadillac. I think she's brilliant. She's amazing.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. I've thoroughly enjoyed our chat about all things Pilates and pelvic floor. And hopefully if everyone's listening, they'll get themselves down to you, Pilates.
I think they've all stopped listening about 40 minutes ago.
They're like, no, we're done. But yeah, thank you so much for just taking the time to talk all things Pilates.
I loved it. And thank you for having me. Thanks, Tash.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it and found it valuable. If you love what you heard, we'd really appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your preferred platform. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more listeners just like you. Don't forget to subscribe to LuxCore Pilates podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you want to stay updated with all things LuxCore, be sure to follow us on Instagram
at Luxcore Collection. Thanks again for tuning in. Join us next week for more discussions on all things Pilates.